Kia ora, this program is brought to you by Wellington Access Radio. Wellington Access Radio, make your voice heard.
Hello and welcome again to Capital Irish. It's Andy Linton here, as you probably, those who've heard me before, you'll guess, and those of you don't, that's me. So 4 weeks ago, I had a guest with me, and she warned me before we started that we would never get everything we wanted to talk about done in half an hour, and she was spot on. So I've got her back again to talk a bit more. She's called Fidel Mahark, and she comes from Belfast, born and bred in Belfast, yeah. And she's here in New Zealand. She got caught with the COVID-19 pandemic. She was out here visiting her daughter and was just about ready to go home, and the COVID thing hit, and she's still here, although probably in a few months or so, thinking about going back.
Yeah, depending on my date for vaccinations.
Yeah, so you're going to get a vaccination and then go home when it's a bit safer. Yeah, that's great. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't mean it's great that you're going home. I mean, it's great you're going to be safe. Okay, and we talked last time, she'd spent like her whole working life in Belfast, working as a teacher and various other things. And we talked about the teacher, being the teacher all the way through the Troubles, and sort of we got to about the end of the 1980s and we ran out of time for that. So we're going to pick it up and go on from there in a few minutes. Before we do that, I'd just like to mention that at the start of June, the first weekend in June, at Queen's Birthday weekend, there's a festival on in Nelson called Ceolan Ass, which is where people who are keen on playing Irish trad go down for the long weekend. There's classes, and there'll be classes like in fiddle and flute and accordion and concertina and banjo and the like. And normally they would have tutors from overseas who come out from mostly from Ireland, but sometimes over from Australia or the States or whatever. Now, of course, last year they got cancelled. But this year they're going to be back, and the tutors this year will be from local tutors, people who are living in New Zealand. And that's not to say they're not good players, but we won't have the chance to have overseas people. It'll just all be people locally. And hopefully next year things will be a bit more open and we'll be able to have some tutors. And they've had a great mix of tutors over the years. You know, they've had like really fantastic players like Kevin Crawford and the band Lunasa, and we've had a real mix of people, some of them very straight trad and others a bit more sort of jazzier or whatever, and I say jazzy in a very loose sense, they're sort of just that on that sharper edge of Irish trad stuff, which is a bit less traditional, I suppose, So just to let people know about that, it's a good weekend if you're into the playing, but it's also a good weekend to come down. There's usually a concert. Well, there will be a concert on a Sunday evening. And a few people I know will take the chance at that weekend if they're around Nelson, or take the chance to come. So I'll just give it a bit of a plug. And maybe if this time next month or a bit, we'll get a chance to talk about what was going on there and who came and how it went. And we've done that in the past. So that's the sort of commercial break over. And we'll get back down to talking about Belfast and life and working and so on. So Fidelma, you'd worked, as a drama teacher, head of drama at a big secondary school in the Falls Road in Belfast, and then at the end of the 80s, you had a career change. What went on there that you changed, and what did you start to do, and where did you go after that?
Well, I think what happened, because the young people I was teaching, and because we had a very well-established drama department, media department, so that they were doing GCSE and A-level.
Yeah.
Girls started getting a lot of work, professional work, which they need, because if you go for an audition, as you know, Andy, if you go for an audition for a role, in a film or in a theatre role. Yeah. They don't ask you for your A-levels. They want to see your CV and what you've done.
Yeah, and that, I mean, that would be the same if you were going to be a computer programmer. You know, they might want to know what your exam results look like, but they want to know where you'd worked.
Yeah.
You know, it's the same. It's the same. Yeah. Sort of the same, you know. Yeah.
I mean, so... And they're looking for showreels and things like that.
Yeah,
I mean, and at that stage, they were looking for equity cards because it was very...
So equity is the actors' union?
Yes.
And you have to have that card, really, to
get
in the door?
Yes, you had to. It's a lot... equity still exists and I do a fabulous job protecting artists. But at the same time, at that stage, you would not get work without your union card.
So it was
card.
Like a closed shop sort of thing, yeah.
Which was.
Sometimes is good and sometimes is... Yeah. I get it, yeah.
So so because of that, I think I got on the radar with professional theatre and with media. So I would have been known because we set up a agency for the young people in the school and they were getting a lot of professional work. We acted as agents for them and we charged them as a professional agent would, but that money went into buying, it could be theatre field trips, it could have been equipment.
So that would push back into the school?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And particularly into drama and the training of drama.
Mm-hmm.
So because of all of that, I had... been working with a lot of producers in both theatre and television. So just about this time, I decided that I would apply for a more senior role in the school. I didn't actually get it. I was second on the list, but the person who got it had another opportunity for a year with the Department of Education. So they came to me and said, right, you were second, so you're going to get it for the year, which was probably the best thing that ever happened to me because it was a senior, like, because of the size of the school, almost like a vice principal, right?
Yeah.
And so therefore, I was going to get that level of experience for a year. I hated it. I absolutely detested it. I really, basically, so much of it is disciplinarian and nothing creative. So it was a big learning lesson for me that I was so, so unhappy. And frequently, I will tell you that there could be a young person brought to me who had been giving bother in a class. Well, actually, whenever I looked into it, I would have actually thought that the teacher was more at fault than the child.
That's a hard position to be in a school, like so where you're
You can't. You've got to have the line, but you at the same time. Have got to, you know, the kids can see through you. You know,
of course they can.
So it was a very difficult path. And really, there was someone acting as head of drama at the time. There was a lot going on there too. And the people from London, a film company came over and wanted to use some of the kids. And I said to them, look, I'll have to give you the new acting head of drama and they'll talk to you because I'm out of that job for a year. And that was okay. So they got the win. They knew that I was not happy in the role, you see. So I said, look, it's for a year and it'll be good experience. And in terms of running big teams and admin and stuff like that. So... one of them emailed me shortly afterwards and said, you're not going to get this job, but I think you should let the BBC know you're there.
So this was somebody from the BBC?
Yeah, but in London, nothing to do with Northern Ireland BBC.
Right.
Said, you'll not get it because I hadn't any professional background. You'll not get it. but let them know you're there if you do a good interview.
Yeah.
You know, put you further on their radar. So that was fine. I did the interview, didn't get it. Didn't get the job. And but that was okay. I got feedback from the BBC that I'd done a very good interview, but I just lacked the person who got the job actually worked in the BBC and had made lots of output and programmes.
So this is the same as your kids doing the drama, and they have to have the CV that says acted in this or film of this or whatever. And so you're in the same boat.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. And so, however, it was a really good experience. And I went and got feedback about where they thought if I ever was going to do it. But actually, by that stage, I was now back as head of drama.
So the year had passed.
By the time this all came through, it wasn't such a big disappointment, really. But what happened then was we started a theatre company with the girls. And I honestly believed if you're going into the industry, you need people from the industry to actually train for the industry.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, what we were doing was getting them exams, but to give them the hands-on experience. And we hired a writer and a director and a set designer, and we raised money to pay the professionals.
Yeah.
And those 32 girls formed a theatre company called the Marillac Theatre Company. It was called Marillac because St. Louise's and St. Louise's surname was Marillac.
Right.
So it was called the Marillac Theatre Company. It opened, the play was workshopped with the girls. So any girls who wanted to write were working with the writers. Anybody who wanted to do set design, anybody who wanted to do lighting. So we had literally every head of department was a professional from theatre.
Uh-huh.
And they ran it. So the person on the corner calling it, the set designer had staff, had kids who were his staff and working on it, on the design. So they were getting really practical notions. So, and there was a cast as well. So that cast opened in the Grand Opera House in Belfast, ran for a week.
Mm-hmm.
Then it toured the north of Ireland and some of the rural areas not far from the border, you know, sort of did quite a long run. It was to give them experience of what it was like
to be on the road.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And the director, who is Bob, who is an amazing man, said to me, do you know that there is a thing that they could do in, there's a competition and I think we'll enter them for it.
Uh-huh.
And so we filled in all the forms, sent video, all of this to the National Theatre in London, and they got through. So the final performance of that play, Mahatma Coatin, the Gandhi Girls, was the name of it. It was brilliant. It was hilariously funny. Their power of their performance, I mean, I swear, was unbelievable. Just about that time, I had read in Hello that Judi Dench felt very strongly that nobody should be training for the industry but the industry. So I thought, well, what have we got to lose? Now, she wasn't Dame then, but what have we got to lose? So find out through the industry, different people that had that knew people who knew people, got a letter onto her agent's table. So we knew that it was going to be put in front of her.
Uh-huh.
And she agreed to be our patron.
Oh, that's pretty fantastic.
And really, actually, she came down to the National Theatre in London. They performed in the Olivier Theatre, which is a 2,500-seater.
Yeah, I know where it is.
So 32 kids who had been told at 11 they were failures, remember?
Yeah, yeah.
32 of them ran that show, performed. And I can remember sitting before the curtain up, or, well, lights, curtain up.
Yeah.
I can remember thinking, oh, what have I done? What have I, you know, to put a, should you? And I honestly can remember, I could hardly breathe. Why did I worry? Come on.
Yeah.
They just were rocked it. They got a standing ovation from 2,500 people. It was a capacity audience.
Yeah.
And not only that, Judi Dench, the most important thing for them, I think, that was when they started to understand the power of theatre. Judi Dench came down to the stage and said to them, I will never see Belfast in the same light ever again.
Yeah.
So the fact that, you know, it can challenge people's perceptions, it can put questions into people's minds. So of those 32 young people, 28 of them went into the industry.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them are still in it. One of them's in Derry Girls.
Okay.
You know, so they're all over the place. And many more, because they broke the mould and they got into the industry that others dared to believe they could do it.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, so.
But the interesting thing that I read somewhere, I was looking someone on the net, and there's was there one of them called Geraldine something?
Geraldine Hughes.
Hughes, and she's done like fantastically well for her. But I read a piece where she said that there were two people inspired her to get to where she was, and you were one of them. She actually said that in a quote. I saw that today. So, you know, it's not just Judi Dench was inspiring people. You know, you were doing it too. So that's kind of nice, you know.
Well, do you know what? All it was listening to them.
Yeah,
that was
the
big thing. Hearing what they wanted to hear. And the other person was Sister Genevieve. I know that will have played a huge part in Darlene's life. And in fact, Genevieve played such a huge part in my life. When I attended the school myself as a pupil. But and Geraldine at the moment is working with a young person and mentoring a young person.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
At the moment, who goes to the school.
Yeah.
You know, so it's...
So it's paying it back, you know.
Yeah, paying it forward.
Or paying it forward. Yeah.
So, and there is... I remember Emma Jordan, who is the artistic director of probably the most respected theatre company in Northern Ireland, is one of the past pupils. And she was asked by somebody, what is it like to be a past pupil of St. Louise's? And her answer was, you're never a past pupil of St. Louise's. And it's true. I mean, there's a connection,
you know.
Yeah. So... What happened, because that was all going on, I had, I was satisfied. I had got this drive. There was a challenge. It was creative. Yeah. It was incredible. So I was basically producing, whereas before it hadn't been that.
Yeah.
And we had moved the standard of performance.
From just being a school play to being professional theatre or... on the edge of professional theatre.
The thing is, the school shows had a really high... reputation.
Yeah.
But they were school shows. People kept saying to me, put on the school show in the Opera House. The school, people come into a school and they see something and they think, wow, that's good.
Yeah, yeah.
You take that and put it in a theatre.
Yeah.
You know. But because they had the industry working with them and the expectation was being set by the industry. I mean, they just kept... Peter Cox wrote the actual script for that. And Peter Cox is still in contact with every single one of them. We have a group on Facebook and has helped them ever since. He's an incredible writer. He has written for Coronation Street. He's written for Brookside. He's written for, you know, in the old days, Emmerdale. But he also writes for the Royal Court and the National.
I'm watching the time here because we'll be at the third show and on the fourth one, and then you'll have left, and I'm going to have to do it over at next.
You'll have to come to Ireland.
You'll have to come to Ireland and finish it off and all this thing. But you were having a fantastic time, I think, doing all this with the kids. But you actually ended up then later. There was clearly a sort of 2-year transition period or a couple of years.
Yeah,
transition.
What happened was that I had sort of forgotten about the BBC, to be honest, other than we were supplying kids for theatre for film.
Yeah. And but you went and worked for them.
I got a call from them to say, and I went in with my books, with all their stuff about the kids, their CVs and biogs, and I thought this is a rather posh office. I can remember thinking...
It's BBC.
Yeah, well, I mean, I've been in there before, but this was quite splendid, this one. So the guy was lovely. One of the nicest people I've ever worked with, and I did go on to work with him, Ian Kennedy, who was head of television. I didn't know that at the time. That's who he was. So I went on about what the kids were doing and who was in what and where they were going and the theatre company and the agency and all the rest of it. And he said, right, I've got to stop you.
Because I want to talk about you.
John, well, yeah. What he said, John, who was with him, had been on my interview panel, the first one.
Ah, right.
And had said to him, I'm disappointed she did not apply for this job. Meanwhile, I hadn't heard of the job. So Ian said, right, this we have to keep this totally above board. We were disappointed you didn't apply for this job. And it hasn't closed yet. But, you know, would you consider
applying? Yeah.
But I'm telling you now, it'll depend on the interview.
Yeah. So, so you're not getting, you're being strongly encouraged, but you're not getting the nod.
No.
Because it's, you know, and I understand why, because you're looking to, it's a big corporation and there's all the...
Well, there's also the thing about fair employment and law, you know.
And Ian, that's the way it should work. Yeah.
And, but as well as that, Ian, a man of integrity. So much respect for him. And anyhow, so that was okay. I came out, I can remember thinking, coming out, you know, with all my books about the kids and thinking, what just happened? So I phoned the producer who had told me that I should let the BBC know I was there. And I'm thinking, and freaked on the phone. And anyhow, he helped me. He said, calm down, which is just, I'll help, we'll talk. So he did. Anyhow, long story short, I did an interview. There were five people on the interview panel. And it was, I would rather do a complete set of rounds with Mike Tyson than ever go through that again. It was horrendous. The controller was on it, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Because the role was head of the of youth programming for BBC Northern Ireland.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so I didn't need the hands-on make it because I would have producers working to me. I would have researchers working to me who all had hands-on experience.
But this is, you know, if you look at what you were doing with that theatre company thing where you're getting a writer to do this. And so that's all building the right CV to do that.
Yeah, you know. It is. Yeah. And also the BBC had, let's put it this way, there was one woman in head of department.
Oh, so they
in
were
in my meetings. So I think they were probably trying to encourage women anyhow.
Yeah, yeah.
And but anyhow, I never till I die will I forget the question the controller said. First, lovely, smiley, friendly man, and he said, I've just had my budget cut and I'm gonna cut youth programs. Defend it. I can remember thinking, oh my God. But anyhow, I obviously defended it and I then worked for the BBC as a staff member and then as a freelance producer coming in for the guts of another 17 years.
Okay. And so I'm really conscious we're going to run out of time once more. That's fine. But, it's not fine, but, you know. So at the end of that, then you sort of finished up with the BBC and you... Or was there's a thing called what you call a talent tribe? And
yeah.
That was at the end.
What?
Or is that sort of overlap or how did that go?
Yeah. What basically happened was I started in youth and then it went into youth and community.
Uh-huh.
And so it was giving voice to people who didn't normally have a voice. So I loved it. And then I was made head of light entertainment. Basically.
Okay.
So it gave me the opportunity to produce everybody from Daniel O'Donnell to dramas to everything. So that was great. What happened then was when I took an early retirement and because the opportunity was there and financially it made sense for me to do it. And I did do then freelance work for some time after it while setting up a group to to work with young people who didn't have opportunity, kids in care, kids who had had a tough start, but who were creatives.
But the same sort of ethos and mentality as you've been working with, say, the theatre group and, and the kids at
but
St. Louise's.
But by this stage, I had all the experience of making programmes and
I would say one or two contacts as well.
Yes.
Yeah, so that would be kind of useful.
A lot. In the years that followed, in 5 years, I had a fabulous girl called Jean Mallon, who was my deputy in the charity, which we set it up as. And in the 5 years, we worked with over 5,000 kids, giving them an interface with
So is this Belfast industry, or across the whole of the north of Ireland?
Whole of Northern Ireland.
It's a pretty it's a fascinating story to listen to. You know, I think you know to go from being a teacher, a drama teacher, which is where you kicked off, to sort of step up the ladder, and also, but given so much back, you know, which I suppose is what being partly where but the teacher thing is.
Yeah, that's why I went in. That's why that was the only school I applied to for a teaching job because of what had been done for me all those years beforehand, and I wanted to do it for others. I knew that believing in young people, what they would go on to do, things they could never think they'd do.
That's a pretty good message for lots of people, you know, if you believe in, you know, for young, dealing with young people and kids and stuff like that. So we really are going to run out of time. We're down to about a minute or so. Before we go any further, I want to thank Marion for looking after the technical stuff and our sponsors and all that other stuff. And I'm going to just really, we've got a tiny little bit of music called Valencia Harbour we're going to play out with. But I'd like to thank you very much, Fidelma, for coming. I suspect we could get another program out of this, but I think we better let somebody else have a go with this as well. And I really, really have appreciated you coming in, and thank you very much for this. And Marion's going to put our little bit of music on, and that'll just take us out the door. Thanks very much.
You've been listening to Capital Irish on Wellington Access Radio 106.1 FM. Thanks to the generosity of our sponsors, we couldn't be here without them. Our sponsors are Wellington Irish Trust, Susie and Peter McGuinness, Hutt Valley Irish Society and Butler's Chocolates. A very big thank you from all of us on the Capital Irish team.
That programme was brought to you by Wellington Access Radio. Get your voice heard.
Thanks New Zealand On Air for funding accessmedia.nz.